You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Father, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi. I was going to ask you how you're doing, but I already know.
It's Friday, man. I got a sore throat today. This weather's been it's been dealing with me.
But, yeah. Well, it's Friday.
Yeah.
Can't hear my co-host. He's saying something, but I can't hear him.
Can you hear me now?
No, I said my co-host.
Oh, hold on.
That's good.
All right. That's Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, how you doing? We always talk about the weather. It's going up to 74 degrees today.
Hey, I know, man. I know. I wish it could be 74 tomorrow because I'll be back here in Racine for a rally for democracy, a Democratic Party of Racine County. Racine Resistance Groups tomorrow, 10:30 a.m., Racine Monument Square. Congresswoman Gwen Moore, Assembly Leader Greta Neubauer, Angelina Cruz, Assembly Representative, Social Security, Medicare, Veterans Affairs, Medicaid, Public Education, Civil Rights, and more. There's going to be a demonstration. Demonstrate your freedom of speech with signs and flags, 11 a.m. program with featured speakers. So, Sandy, I'm doing my civic duty.
Yeah, I suspect the ICE officials will be there to make sure that there's no one that they can't grab for speaking out of line, put them on a plane and take them to El Salvador.
Well, you know, anything is possible today, Sandy. We got a lot to talk about today. But I first want to say, man, like you said, 74 degrees, man. Can you believe that?
Yeah. And, you know.
One day.
The things we normally talk about, the weather, the Bucks, basketball generally, you know, this is basketball madness now for a while. And unfortunately, the Bucks have stubbed their toe a bit with Damian going down. But, you know, I think they're going to be okay, to be honest with you. I think they play all right without him.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not going to go very far. First round, maybe. And, you know, if they get past, if they wind up playing Indiana the first round without Damian Lillard, yeah, it's a wrap. But anyway, Sandy, you know, sports, as much as I love and you and I love sports, it's got to prioritize. And since you're only on with me a couple hours a week now, man, we have to talk about where we are, Sandy. This, the earth is caving in on itself. One guy.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, what I've always said is that I'm not that concerned about policies and shifts in policies. I have a preference in what the policy ought to be, but policies are what elections are about. And if, you know, they could run things through Congress and change policies in the normal process, that's the way the system works. But what we're watching right now is completely a reversal of the norms of process. Policies are being rammed through, not by congressional action, not by the will of the people, but by executive fiat. I mean, Donald Trump is, they've worked it out so that this has become Donald Trump's personal government in the same manner that the government would become personal to a dictator. And he's able to turn all of the guns of government on any foe that he chooses, whether it be law firms that crossed him up somewhere along the way. He's just put out an executive order with respect to a law firm that related to a law firm where Robert Mueller was a partner long ago and then was once again briefly involved with them. But, I mean, the only reason that he's turned the guns on this major law firm is because Robert Mueller had been a part of it. I mean, that's strictly personal vendetta. And it wasn't the law firm that was involved in the Mueller investigation. It was Robert Mueller.
Well, you know, Sandy,
individually, not as part of that law firm.
Well, Sandy, that's not surprising. Remember the group of people who were charged with investigating Donald Trump in January 6th? And all those people that were Congress people and others?
The Committee of Congress?
Yes. Yeah, he went after them.
Well, and he still is presuming that he might go after them. He's claiming the pardons to them were null and void in a specious kind of a legal argument, which I think was opening the door for the notion that now he can sick the Department of Justice on them for the purpose of harassment, because there's no potential that you could get a sitting congressperson to be held liable for things they do in their capacity as congresspeople on the floor of Congress. It's crazy. But I mean, I think that the American public, the law firm thing is representative of other things that he's doing, which is to basically threaten individuals, businesses, corporations with suffering all of the slings and arrows that his government can aim at them to try and ruin their life if they bother to be contrary to his view. I mean, what's happening is we're watching a government that's pursuing ideological purity everywhere, no dissent anywhere. And if there is dissent, it will be squashed. You know, the threats he made to the law firm were threats not just to withdraw government business from the law firms themselves, but to withdraw government business from any client of that law firm, which was obviously a potential ruin to a client, to a client and to the law firm itself. And so, you know, that's bringing down the reins of government on something in a manner that's never been seen before.
Well, Sandy, he's done it to universities, okay? You didn't do the things that you should have done to stop the dissent on your campuses. So we're going to make sure you don't get any resources.
The amazing thing is that then the people are called into the president's office to negotiate with the president directly. So the president of Colombia had to sit down in the president's office and negotiate the terms of the renewal of this $400 million of grants with the president. And the head of the Paul Weiss law firm had to go sit with the president and negotiate with the president about what it is that the government would or wouldn't do to them. That's never been done before. The president doesn't get involved in prosecutions or the issuance of grants or the decisions about them in the manner that this president is doing.
So we're watching this before our eyes. It gets worse every second of every day. And it seems more and more distant that anything can be done to correct it. And so it's only been 2 months, man.
Well, I mean, it's because of this shock and awe approach to the use of government tools against individuals, and it's being done purposefully. These ICE arrests of people are being videoed by ICE themselves, and they're making them the objects of chilling terror, so that the public understands what can happen to them if they stick their head up and say something contrary. So, you know, the only allegation against these students who've been arrested is that they spoke out and asked questions about the policies with respect to Palestine. That was enough, apparently, to get them expelled, and expelled unceremoniously, you know, in shackles.
Well,
and so, you know, I think this is designed to be chilling, not just to immigrants, but to the American public. And that's the same reason as well that these assaults are made on these law firms. The government, Donald Trump, is trying to make people understand if you cross Donald Trump, all hell will break loose. It's the same kind of conversation that he used about how he would treat Hamas. You know, all hell will break loose. Holy hell will break loose. That's what he's demonstrating will happen to anybody in the United States if they bother to dissent, or if they bother to pursue an analysis of history, for instance, that runs contrary to the ideologically pure analysis of history that's being required now.
So, Sandy,
Smithsonian.
You and I have been around. You and I have been around a while. So we know this is who Donald Trump is. He's always done this. I don't care. Even in his private business, he's anybody who would cross him, there would be a price to be paid. And so this is who he is.
Yeah, but I don't think, you know, in his first administration, he didn't understand the tools of government. He didn't have facilitators around him who wanted to facilitate this kind of conduct on his behalf. Now he has accomplished that. He has put all of the people in place around in the government and the various jobs that are responsible for public policy, and they are people who want to facilitate this form of personal conduct by Donald Trump, this kind of personal control of the government, apparently, because that's what they're doing. And to be honest with you, what's happening now, process-wise, I want to make sure it's understand, this is not policy I'm arguing about, it's process. And what's happening with process is unfathomable. I couldn't have imagined it. Elon Musk telling the world that the United States government will come down on those left-wing propagandists who are filling the heads of people with kinds of ideas which might be driving them to attack Teslas. Now, there is no left-wing leader who is telling people to attack Teslas. So what's happening is he's basically saying left-wing conversation should be the subject of of government act.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and you have a lot to talk about.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music?
Well, I decided I went to my AI source and asked it to give me music that was reflective of drinking songs and people who might be drunk with power. And that's what I got today, because that's what I think what we're watching is a president who is actually drunk with power he doesn't drink, I guess, alcohol, but he drinks some other potent something that is. So anyway, yeah, the music today
McDonald's,
relates to that.
McDonald's sodas.
But
let me.
You know, before the break, we were talking about something. And one of the things that I think is so ironic about this is one of the things that the right constantly talked about was cancel culture and how it was that the left would from a social standpoint, cancel people who didn't meet the litmus of left-wing thinking. Well, what we're watching right now is a most horrific kind of cancel culture where the government is using all of its tools and all of its powers to actually cancel people, cancel companies, cancel businesses who are not ideologically pure, who would bother to be contrary in their view to the White House. It's astonishing, and it's horrifying, actually. If I had a bell to ring, I was looking for one, I was going to ring it, because I think we should all be hearing an alarm bell as we watch what happens.
So let me ask you, Sandy, what is it going to take? There's still 49%, 48% of Americans, those who supported Donald Trump, who still support him, even in the face of all this. There's some Yoko on the text message now sending these ridiculous responses. What is it going to take, Sandy, for those people who supported him missing a few Social Security checks? Or is it going to be veterans not getting their benefits? I mean, what is it going to take for these people to realize that he's not in their corner?
Well, I think it's going to have to be one of those have you no decency, sir, moments like happened to Joe McCarthy in the McCarthy hearings when an Army general finally had the temerity to speak out against him. I think the American public at some point, those who cherish personal freedom, are going to realize that they are the chicken in the pot. There's water in the pot, the heat's been turned on, and it's going to boil. And, you know, they'll realize that we are on a perilous course towards the removal of personal freedoms, the way things are happening in this country. And, you know, I think that the American spirit ultimately is embedded in personal freedom. And when they realize that that's what's at stake here, you know, policies be damned. You know, we can streamline government. That's a policy that can be pursued. But to pursue it in a manner that is currently being pursued is to destroy not just inefficiency, but it's to destroy actually the American government. And that's something. And I don't mean the bureaucrats in American government. I mean the vital constitutional processes of American government.
You know, Sandy, every day that goes by, it gets worse and it gets more entrenched. You're talking about Elon Musk. Just watching him last night and his group, and you're saying, man, can this really be happening? You know, this is the United States of America. For heaven's sakes, man, here's a guy who's not even elected who is calling the shots.
Well, he underestimates what the rest of the world, the strength of the rest of the world. If the American public isn't exhibiting the kind of strength to stand up to him, I think he has to understand that the rest of the world will. You know, Prime Minister Mark Carney, the new Prime Minister of Canada yesterday, in response to these 25% tariffs, which is really a direct throwdown tariff war, an active tariff war against Canada, that's what it's aimed at. He basically said, look, our relationship with the United States is over as it was. We're going to turn to other trade partners. We're going to turn to the rest of the world, and we're going to stop relying on the United States. We're going to stop being dependent upon it for imports or for exports. And they will accomplish it. I mean, there are some ready markets out there, China being a very primary one, who can definitely be a surrogate for the United States.
You know, Sandy, the worst part about it is, you know, these people who continue to say, you know, Trump is my guy, Trump is my man, and all those kind of things, they haven't seen, I guess, enough yet before they finally realize It's almost, it'll be too late to turn back, Sandy. It'll be too late to turn it around. Because those people, again, many of them, Sandy, average people who, average Tom, Dick, and Mary who voted for Donald Trump, expecting some change in their own lives.
Everything that's happened almost.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, almost 100% of what's happened so far has been done by executive order. Nothing. Congress has not done anything yet to implement any of what Trump is doing. So we should understand that the plan here, the game plan here, is to use executive power well beyond its normal range and to dare the Supreme Court to rein him in.
Sandy, did you hear what you just said? Dare the United States Supreme Court, right?
Absolutely. Well, they're talking about impeaching judges that stand against them. You know, Supreme Court judges can be impeached as well. I mean, where does impeachment of judges stop?
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you got a lot more to talk about.
Watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered in oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp, hey, they're beginning to boil. Wasted away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number, Sandy. So Canada has now basically said we're no longer partners with the United States, and this is a partnership that goes back to 1940. And Donald Trump walks in the door and single-handedly destroys that relationship that is going to impact many American citizens, and he has no feelings at all about, you know, what he's done. It doesn't even sit with him.
Well, I think that this talk about the 51st state is not in Donald Trump's mind, and in apparently the people who support him with policy, is not just idle talk. This kind of behavior and what he's doing with Canada suggests that he's trying to bring them to their knees economically, so that they will so that they'll do that and become the 51st state. You know, and which is a crazy idea. That much geography being one state, it would undoubtedly each province would be a state, and we'd find out that the Republican Party would be done forever because. They'd probably be more left-leaning than the rest of the country. They also have a health program that maybe they could export to us, because everyone in Canada has health care. It's probably an enviable thing from the American public standpoint. But, yeah, I mean, his quest for power and his quest for geography seems to be insatiable. And he's going to destroy, I mean, having a trade war with Canada as just the beginning of a trade war with the world, which will totally disrupt our economy. And there are some who believe that part of his strategy is to have a recession, which will weaken the dollar. And by weakening the dollar, make our exports more attractive. But, you know, once again, recessions are something that is suffered by Tom, Dick, and Mary. It's not suffered by people who live in gold houses.
You know, Sandy, he wants to be a bad guy. And, you know, we know that's who he is. He's always been a bad guy. But, you know, he could be a bad guy, Sandy. And as long as he was in the business world. But let me ask you, for the people who say they want the government to be run like a business, you're a business guy. Is that sensical?
Well, sure. It depends on what running like a business means. But if you talk about running something efficiently, running it so that it pursues its objectives effectively and efficiently, that's what businesses try to do, and that's what the government ought to do. The government ought to pursue what it is that the government has been asked by Congress and the people to do. It ought to pursue doing those things effectively, carrying out the mission, and do it efficiently so that it isn't too expensive. If that's running it like a business, that's a sound idea. But if running it like a business means that you come in and you sack people left and right and cut expenses willy-nilly, you're maybe acting like a private equity firm that's trying to parasitically feed off a business, but you're not acting like a business that wants to have a long-term prospect and be successful. I think running it like a business, some people object to that, but I think the question is, what do you mean by it? But that isn't what we're watching right now, okay? This is not people running things like a business. They're running it like a personal possession.
Let's go to Richard from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Richard. You say what?
Well, I'm wondering if you guys are aware of Canada and their situation of connecting the two oceans together. They've been channeling from lake to lake over from, the Pacific to the Atlantic. And I'm wondering how far they are on that. And that'll probably bring roads and pipelines along there.
So what are your thoughts about what Donald Trump is doing to Canada?
Well, Canada has a smaller population, and it doesn't make any sense at all to be not cooperative or partnership with them, because Canada probably has more connections with England with their history and with their businesses and with their actions from the Second World War. And England probably wants to be connected with them because they're close to Russia. You know, they have the fear from that. It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Richard, thank you for the call. Thank you very much for listening. Sandy, you want to respond to Richard?
Well, what Donald Trump wants to do is own Canada. He doesn't want to have cooperation with Canada. So, you know, what he's trying to do is take someone with whom we've had the ultimate form of cooperation. I mean, our whole air defense, missile defense system has radar sites that run throughout Canada. You know, Canada's a big part of the defense of the United States. And on the other hand, what Donald Trump wants to say is that Canada is parasitically using the United States as its defender. But the fact is that Canada has been very active in every sort of warfare that we participated in. They preceded us into World War II. Canada is a very strong nationalist country, feels strongly about their Canadian qualities. And the notion that we can't cooperate with countries effectively and what we need to do is own them is something, a new notion that Donald Trump has brought up. I went and did the math on this. When you take Canada and put it into the United States and you take Greenland and add it to it, suddenly the United States geography is materially bigger than Russia, which is the biggest landmass country in the world. And I believe that if you could sit Donald Trump down and give him truth serum, he's done that same math. And what he wants is for when he leaves the presidency, he wants to be able to say that the United States became the biggest country in the world under Donald Trump. And that's the objective. It's not a policy objective.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning. A couple things very quickly. J.D. Vance says that we really need to be ruthless when it comes to exercising our power. That's what J.D. Vance said recently. An author of Project 2025, Curtis Yarvin, says a reboot of the USA must occur, and we must seize all points of power. He continues to say that the executive branch needs to be run without any interference from Congress or the courts. Now, I just gave you three specific cases, quotes, that clearly show that these insurrectionists are attempting to overthrow our government, completely nullify the U.S. Constitution, and just like we've been talking about for way too long, turn the United States into an authoritarian nation. All the actions all the wordsmithing that they're using, everything shows this. So I got to say, the only thing I think that can save us is the Fourth Estate. And that is the media and the courage of those involved with our media to speak truth to power. With that, then, we can unify, we can organize, and we can find, you know, millions of people who are willing to walk the walk and defend our nation and the U.S. Constitution from this obvious attempt to seize all power. You're doing a great job, Earl. You're going after this with both eyes wide open. You're speaking truth to power, but unfortunately, today you are a minority. We don't have enough of that going across the media.
So, Mike, hang on a second. Sandy, you want to respond to anything Mike is saying?
Well, no, you know, he's absolutely right. I mean, that's why I told you I was so horrified when I read all of Project 2025, because it is a manifesto which describes a direct assault on the constitutional organization of our government and to change it into something in which we have authoritarianism. And I'm just astonished that it would be conservatives who wrap themselves in the Constitution who would take this position. But now we're watching it unfold. And to be honest with you, I think we're much closer to seeing it already accomplished when we see what the president has done with all the tools of government, to Columbia, to law firms, to any object that bothers him, to the Lincoln Center. I mean, some of these things sound trivial, but they aren't, you know, taking over the Kennedy Center, taking over the Smithsonian, trying to organize its policies, taking over collegiate institutions and reorganizing the way they go about their business. It's horrifying.
Mike?
Live in a city. I totally understand that government must have a role to play in regulation of business and providing safety nets and in maintaining infrastructure and protecting civil rights. We get that. But unfortunately, we have this whole machine that is very mature, that dominates in small-town rural America, that has been the antithesis of real freedom and democracy they've worked against us. This has been a long time coming, and unfortunately, they're out of the cage, and we're going to have a hell of a time putting them back in. But I do believe the Fourth Estate, as it's been designed in states' rights, we can thwart this effort. But it has to be happen quickly, and we the people got to wake up and look at the world through both of our eyes.
Hey, Mike, well said. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you and you're a guy who's always been a big proponent of free speech, right? As long as I've known you, free speech. Got to have it.
Yeah.
You know, got to have free speech. It's taking away freedom of speech, man. You know?
Yeah. I mean, his reasoning, the reasoning that's been provided from an official standpoint for the deportation of these students is simply their speech. And the reason that he's giving for attacking these law firms is simply speech, the speech of their clients. And he's, you know, he's threatening these law firms with removing all of their clients from the roles of people eligible to do business with the United States. I mean, this is using the tools of government for his own personal power and aggrandizement. And it's very effective because people have to bend in the face of that, or many of them feel a need to bend in the face of that.
You know, Sandy, your thoughts on the other side about if there's a way to get out of this. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Wasted away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a one.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
New York. And the name of the boat was the Irish Rover.
In the year of our Lord 1806, we set sail from the Pole Cay of Cork. And we were sailing away with the cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall of New York. Well, we'd an elegant craft, it was a rig fore and aft, and how the trade winds drove her. She had 23 masts, and she stood several blasts, and they called her the Irish Rover.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, your music selection.
Well, drinking songs. I think we're watching someone who's drunk with power. So that was my source of these songs. And apparently that Irish song is a well-known drinking song, at least in pubs around the country.
You know, Sandy, before we go back to the phone lines, I just wanted to mention this. Trump orders targets divisive narratives in Smithsonian museums. So this was on yesterday. Donald Trump ordered cities an exhibit at the American Art Museum titled Stories of Race in American Sculpture and References at the National Museum of African American History. Museums in our nation's capital should be places where individuals go to learn, not be subjected to ideological indoctrination, divisive narratives that distort our shared history, the order states. Wait a minute. Shared history is what was happening. That's why those things were in the museums. Shared history. And he's turned all of that on its head. Okay?
Well, apparently his version of shared history involves the stuff that's shared by white, the people who have white skin. Because what they view as ideologically impure and what they view as divisive is simply divulging to the current generation the history of race relations in the country.
You know, and I understand he let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines, bring Tim in before the break. Good morning to you, Tim. You say what?
Hello. Thanks for taking the call. I've been reading on the internet where Elon Musk says that people are going to get more Social Security under Doge. Well, this is all part of the plan to break Social Security. They're laying off all these people. So all that money is not going to be going into Social Security. And if they increase the outtake, they're going to say, see, it went broke. We told you that this is coming. So this is all part of the plan.
You know, Sandy, there's been nonstop conversation about, well, he's not going after Social Security. He's not going after Medicare. He's not going after Medicaid. You've been saying forever there's only four places he can go to offset the tax break for the billionaires, for the wealthy. And so he's got to go at some of those things they have to go after.
Well, and in fact, and it can be the subject of another show, but everything they propose in the way of cuts still, even if they achieve them, wouldn't match the size of the tax cut they want. So they're talking about increasing deficits. So part of what's going on here is them struggling to deal with the situation in which they know that the increasing size of the national debt is a problem. Moody's and others are telling us that. And so they're trying to figure out a way to have their cake and eat it too, to have the tax cut and to have increasing deficits, and to somehow deal with the debt side of that by weakening the dollar, forcing other nations to take no interest or zero interest bearing debt instruments to try and ease the burden on our economy. It's all the same kind of financial restructuring that Donald Trump must have carried out in his private businesses on his path to bankruptcy. You know, this isn't sound business.
Well, Sandy, it is clear that it's not about business with them. It's about their tax breaks and tax cuts. And, I just have never been able to understand. I don't know how much they get. If you're a billionaire and they're cutting $4.5 trillion, what that actually looks like on the bottom line for a billionaire guy, how much money he actually saves. But my question would be, okay, whatever that amount is, Sandy, it doesn't change you being a billionaire. So why would they not be concerned about the impact that it has on the average, everyday American?
Well, because, you know, what they have to do is make taxes an ideological a source of ideological purity, because it doesn't make sense to Tom, Dick, and Mary. If Tom, Dick, and Mary had their way rationally, we'd be talking today about revising the healthcare system and avoiding this terrible benefits cliff that is experienced by people who move from Medicaid into jobs and suddenly have to pay for a very large health insurance bill that makes them worse off with the job than they were without the job. And this is all the result of the fact that we don't have something like Medicare for All. We have a system that's different. And so I think the Republicans just want to duck from actually talking about policy and try to make taxes and government expenditure a prime issue.
Well, you know, Sandy, half of Tom, Dick, and Mary doesn't understand this. And that's why they vote against their own interests. And they somehow still believe they're on the other side of this, and that Donald Trump is going to be their savior.
Well, I think you asked before the last break whether I would talk about how we might break this.
Yeah.
And I think one of the ways to break it is to have a discourse that actually takes on these issues and talks about them.
And we'll do more of that on the other side. 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.